This is a great opportunity to give what is actually happening on the ground, because after the global agreement, people have thought there is a change because there is food in the market. People think that things are okay, but we are really setting the record straight. And also, we are very grateful for this opportunity to be here winning, receiving this award, because it is going to amplify the voices of an ordinary person in Zimbabwe.
Now, with the country's growing instability, how has this impacted on protections for women, and what is being done to ease the burden?
Nothing really is being done. An ordinary person remains vulnerable, because if there is no rule of law and you cannot access lawyers, a lot of people have seen that they are being arrested. The informal trading has been criminalized in Zimbabwe. So people who are trying to make a living through informal trading, they have no option, because they have their goods looted and then they don't have a way to start, and their children are not going to school. So basically nothing has changed. That's why we're yearning and we're clamoring for a new people-driven constitution that is going to protect all these rights.
Now, as far as the protection of women and children, is there a direct correlation between declining economic fortunes and incidents of mistreatment against women?
Yes, definitely there is, because as we speak now, our children are not going to school, and then the women that are facing the brunt of suffering, they are directly facing these challenges of trying to put food on the table for their children, trying to find ways where they can make their families decent by putting food on the table and then also getting medication for their children. So the crisis directly affect, the political crisis and economic crisis directly affect an ordinary citizen who has somehow to try and see how they can survive.
Now, are your changes mainly directed at changing legal protections in the country, or is it going deeper into the actual cultural perceptions of the way women are treated in Zimbabwe?
I think in Zimbabwe we need to transform the entire nation into the way we do things as a nation. We have had a culture of violence where those who are powerful, those who have means to authority, those who have means to oppress, have oppressed, and every time there's such a situation, the most suffering are the women and the children.
It's been just over a year since your arrest during a peaceful demonstration against hunger in Zimbabwe. How has the climate in the country changed since then?
It's very unfortunate, because nothing has changed much, because we are still facing the charges of peaceful protests against hunger. And as we speak now, the human rights defenders are still being arrested and are facing charges. Even the lawyers are not paid for just defending their clients.
Has the climate changed with the taking office of a coalition unity government?
The only tangible change that is there is for those with money, because now there is food on the shelves and those with money can afford medication. But for an ordinary citizen, we cannot access any money. Nothing has changed. The poverty continues. Their children are not going to school. And the health delivery system still remains out of reach of an ordinary citizen.
The government has repeatedly contested your right to demonstrate peacefully. How has that changed during the past year?
Nothing has changed. In fact, what we have seen is that there's increased repression, there's increased in human rights violations, and people are just supposed to suffer in silence. And now there's also intimidation of the magistrates. There's political influence in our judicial system.
You've appeared in court on numerous occasions during the past year. Do you still feel able to speak out on issues of conscience?
Yes, I have no choice as an ordinary citizen, as a Zimbabwean that is looking forward for a better future. WOZA and other human rights defenders in Zimbabwe, we continue to strive for a space where we will hold our government accountable so that they deliver on the promises of the global political agreement and also the promises of the liberation struggle, that many lives were lost to attain independence for everyone.
How large is your organization, Women of Zimbabwe Arise, and how many of you have had a direct impact on the legal system in your country?
We have a membership of about 75,000, majority which are women and also men. And we have about 3,000 members that have been arrested, that have gone through the courts. And also some of our members who were arrested in June for demonstrating about education, they're also still facing trial in Zimbabwe.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the status of your legal case at home right now?
On the 4th of July, after the arrest on the 16th of October 2008, we're taken to Mlondolozi prison, where we're there for 3 weeks. After that, we made a constitutional challenge to the Supreme Court, where a full sitting bench of the Chief Justice and the other four gave a ruling that our arrest was unlawful, so therefore we should be acquitted. They promised that by the next time we appeared in court, that was in August, that there will be a written ruling, but still now we don't have that. And for us to be taken off remand is becoming a problem because our lawyer has been told that this is a sensitive cultural issue, therefore we cannot be taken off remand. Hence, we are going back to court on the 7th of December.
Now, how has that affected your ability to travel and speak freely overseas on visits such as this one? And what impact is this visit having?
They say justice delayed is justice denied. And we've seen this trend because most of the times when we are being denied bail, the excuse that is being used is that because we have a pending case. As long as we are not acquitted, we still have this case hanging over your head. And then next time you are arrested for a peaceful protest or for saying something, then automatically you are denied bail. So this is the hindrance for us. But this is not going to stop us from doing our work because we now understand that this is a strategy of the repressive regime to stop us from working. So we'll continue with our work. One day we shall overcome.
What can the international community do to make it easier for women inside Zimbabwe?
I think the international community should focus mainly on the issues and the needs of the people rather than focusing on the political power and issues of global political agreement. Because normally when the politicians talk, they only speak to the posts, the positions. Yet no one is really trying to see that the posts that are there, that are filled, that are operational, are utilized. So as ordinary citizens, we feel that the more focus should be trying to implement the global political agreement to its full.
SADC countries, your neighboring countries, have taken a more involved participation in trying to resolve some of the governmental and political crises that Zimbabwe is going through at the moment. Do they have some impact also on the individual rights for the hungry and for refugee situation and for women who are feeling the crunch there?
As an ordinary person, as a community person from a mass community-based organization, we feel that SADC is not playing its role to the full because they are ignoring that while this bickering about positions, while the GPA is not implemented to fully, people are starving, people are dying, and our children are not going to school. That is going to affect us in future because there's no hope, there's no future for a nation that is a high percentage of illiterate.
Now, who are you meeting with in the United States, and how long are you going to be here?
We'll be meeting a lot of other NGOs in the States and also going to be meeting with the government departments in the States. And our message, we are appealing to our own African brothers and then the AU to try and implement, try and be serious about the issues of Zimbabwe. And then we say we want an African solution, so let us be seen giving an African solution to Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe is part of Africa, it's part of SADC, so therefore we deserve what they are yearning for in their own countries.
What needs to be done by the African communities, and why has it come so slowly to aid Zimbabwe?
I think the problem that we have had with the African Union and the SADC is they still have the ideal ZANU-PF that liberated Zimbabwe with the ZAPU. But they have not seen that the ideals of independence and the what people died for, they have been betrayed by this regime. So they are hesitant or they are not eager to be seen condemning what is happening in Zimbabwe because it's one of their own liberators. But surely, in the spirit of Ubuntu, in the spirit of humanity, Africans themselves should see that the guns of independence have been turned against the people of Zimbabwe.
Now, there is a broad coalition of human rights groups in Zimbabwe working with you. Tell us about your relationship with other groups of lawyers and activists and civil society groups and how you work together to bring about change.
The civics in Zimbabwe work in a coordinated way. Right now we're trying to see how we can attain and have a people's driven constitution for the people. And also the issue of the national healing, these are some of the issues that we are working with. And we have a good partnership with the lawyers who always come to attend when human rights defenders are arrested. And we try to speak with one voice on the issues of an ordinary person and as civic organization and leaders in Zimbabwe.
Where do opportunities lie for creating new avenues of advancement for women and their children in Zimbabwe?
If we're given the opportunity to write a people-driven constitution where we know that there will be a bill of rights for women and every citizen of Zimbabwe, then we can have a law of the land that will hold the government accountable and any leader who comes into power will follow that constitution, then we'll be hopeful for a better Zimbabwe.